So I struggled coming up with an appetizer, which is my opening. I still use food. I struggled, man, for like 2 weeks trying to come up with this appetizer. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how I wanted to open. I just couldn't put a finger on it. Until last night at about 5 o'clock, I figured it out. I was messaging one of my friends, actually the drummer, Joel. We were messaging back and forth, you know. I was like, man, how you doing? You know, he's been sick, and he's telling me he's real weak, you know. And I'm like, well, you going to be able to play tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. And here's what he said. Let's see if I can find it here. He said, only when we're weak do we recognize our need for his strength. Man, he sent that to me, and I thought, here's a guy, one of my friends, I'm just messaging back and forth, you know. Nonchalantly, we're just talking, no big deal. And he brings this substance to the conversation. I mean, that's a reference to 2 Corinthians 12:9, that verse, which literally says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I thought to myself, why is Joel saying this? What makes him say this type of thing? I thought, it's certainly not anything I've done. It's nothing that Crossroads has done. Of course, they might have had a part in it. Okay, but really what it comes down to is Joel's decision to devote himself to God's Word. He's devoted himself to the book and be obedient to what it says. He's living his life in such a way that is glorifying God. So it naturally just comes out in conversation. And I thought to myself, you know what? In 2013, I didn't even know Joel. I might have met him before. I think maybe one time at a wedding, I met him. Didn't know him. And here it is, the close of 2014, and Joel is one of my better friends, becoming very close. We're becoming very close. And I thought, what's causing this to happen? Why are Joel and I, in such a short time, growing together, becoming friends, and building this relationship? I can tell you where it started. It started at small group. His family started coming to our small group 6-8 months ago, something like that. So we started building that relationship through small group. Then we started worshiping together, building that relationship. Then we started doing service projects together. That was really building a relationship. Something about building something, when men get together and build something, then that relationship is built. We started raking leaves, cutting wood for people, doing all kinds of service projects. And another thing we built is the God Raj. We got some pictures of it here. Not a lot of us, maybe a lot of you, don't know what the God Raj is. Just ask a man in the congregation, and if they don't know, they'll know somebody very close that does, because most of the men in this church were there that day to help with that. And as a result, I not only have a relationship with Joel, I have a relationship with Henry Bywaters. 2013, wasn't there. Didn't have that relationship. We're building that relationship now. Daniel Smith is another one. Jason Davis, Paul Hansen, Tim Barrett. I mean, there's so many people now that I know from building a relationship through something like this, building a garage, a God Raj. We're being active in our faith, active in our love for the Lord and our mission and our purpose. Not only did we build a God Raj, by the way, that's 5 days' work right there. Not even 5 full days of work right there. That's what we built. With one, well, maybe two skilled people that actually knew how to build this thing, a couple carpenters, and then the rest of us showed up just to do what they said. That's the result. And that building is going to glorify God until we accidentally burn it down or, or whatever. So hopefully it'll be serving God for a long time. But not only did we build this, more importantly, we built community that day. Man, we built relationships. We built community. So what is community? Community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common and or a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. That's how we built community. We have common interests, a common attitude, and a common goal. That's what we're doing. We're here to spread the message of Christ. That's our goal, to show people the love and the grace and the mercy and the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's how we're building relationships with each other, man, because we're going for the same thing. So I tried to come up with some examples of some communities. So you have a physical location, like a neighborhood, that's a community, okay? And then you have like an academic community, a retirement community, religious community, and you even have a nudist community. Which is interesting, when I was kind of researching communities, it popped up. You know, nudist, I thought it'd be funny to talk about it in church. It's not. Apparently it's not that funny, but... So why is this important? What's the result of all these different communities? We have an academic community, okay? Their goal is to create, share, and apply knowledge, and their primary activity is learning. That's an academic community. A retirement community, to supply a secure, comfortable, convenient place for retired adults to reside. Their goal is comfort for the older generation. So what's the goal of a nudist community? By the way, a nudist community is an intentional community comprising of nudists, naturists, that's how it's spelled, who choose to live together on a permanent basis where it is understood that no clothes will be worn. And their purpose is, I have absolutely no idea. Pictures started popping up. I thought it was the retirement community I was looking at. So I got out of there quick. All right, I didn't know how I was going. Okay, don't research that. So I still have no idea what the point of a nudist community is. But, it's kind of funny. So what about a religious community? A community of believers, or a church. That's what we are. We're a church. We're a community of believers. So what I did was I went back to where the church was born. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I was so happy when this happened to me. All right? I prayed about it. Me and Walt talked about it for weeks, and I was like, man, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this. I'm not sure which scripture, I'm being led to preach on. And so I decided it was Acts chapter 2. And I thought this was so cool. As I started reading it, started making my notes, I started reading they, and then I just stopped right there at they. I stopped. I sit there and I laugh at Walt all the time because he gets two or three words in a verse and he stops. And he's like, okay, what this means is, so I got one word in, they. And I'm going to explain who they is. Okay? So what happened previously in Acts chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 is Jesus, he rose from the dead. He came back for 40 days. And he told the apostles, he said, stay in Jerusalem until the gift that my Father is giving comes, the Holy Spirit. Okay? He said, stay in Jerusalem. So they're in Jerusalem. The apostles are in Jerusalem. Now, what's happening in Jerusalem is, it's going to be Pentecost, but it's known as, let's see, I got it written down here somewhere. Flip the page. The Feast of Harvest, or the Feast of Weeks, is what's happening in Jerusalem right now. And according to Jewish law, all the Jewish men surrounding Jerusalem have to come into Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. So Jerusalem is bursting with people, bursting with men. I mean, everywhere. It's just bursting open. Okay? I thought it was neat. The Feast of Weeks is what it's called. The way they got that was, it was 50 days after Passover, or 50, it's a celebration of when Moses came down off of Mount Sinai and gave the Israelites the law on the stone tablets. It's 50 days. So now, it's 50 days from Passover, and we don't have the tablets anymore, but God sent down the Holy Spirit. Now his law, it's written on our hearts now. I thought that was pretty cool. But that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, because it's seven-day periods after Passover. So it's a week of weeks, okay? Thought that was pretty neat. So here they are, they're in Jerusalem, they're waiting on the Holy Spirit, they're gathered around, and then all of a sudden, it's happening. The Holy Spirit is coming down. And these Jewish guys that are everywhere are looking at the apostles, and the apostles are speaking in tongues, and all this stuff's going on, and they were kind of shocked because they're like, well, wait a minute. I can understand what they're saying. All right, when they talk about speaking in tongues, that's what it was. All these different Jewish men spoke different languages, but they all heard the apostles speaking in their native language. So some of them were just in awe and they were shocked, and other ones were like, no, they're just drunk. They're drunk. So who stood up? Come on, that was from my last sermon. Peter stood up. Yes. Can you imagine how magnificent Peter's beard was? Huh? I don't know. I can't get that picture out of my head. This had to be great. Jason Davis, a picture. He's got a great beard. But Peter stood up and he said, no. We're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. And he goes on to give the first sermon, Peter's first sermon. And the result of that sermon is, boom, the church. 3,000 people were saved that day from Peter's sermon. You tell me the Holy Spirit can't work. I mean, he just got the Holy Spirit. Look what he did. It's awesome. And my vocabulary, it's even annoying to me that I say awesome all the time. I can't think of another word. I promise next time I preach, I won't say it more than 5 or 10 times. Okay? But that's awesome. So they, that it says here in verse 42, they is all these new Christians. All the new Jewish men that were in Jerusalem have now converted, and they're Christians now. That's who they is. So let's read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I'm sorry, let me read that again. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily. Every day, people were getting saved. I think we've had, I should know for sure, one person in our small group, in small group, was saved, right? Or was it two? At small group. Was it two? We'll call it 1.5. No. I know of one in our small group, at small group, was saved. I couldn't imagine if every time we met, which is once a week, at our small group, if there was someone being saved. Man, that would be awesome. There it is again. But could you imagine if every day we met in a small group or for worship practice or here to, you know, corporate worship or whatever, and every single day we had people being saved? Isn't that our goal? Isn't that what we want? We want to share this message so that people are being saved. Well, how'd they do it? What's their secret? There's a formula here. We're going to look at it. Back in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Second word, we're on word number two now. There's only, how many words is in this? 100 words? Word number two, devoted. Man, that's a good word. We already talked about it once with Joel, how he's devoted to this book. He's devoted to the Christian life to follow Christ. Devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What does devoted mean? Having strong love or loyalty for something or someone. I just looked up the Greek word for it because pastors do that a lot. I don't know Greek. And I can't say it. Proskeratori. How's that? Okay. So it's in the book. And apparently it's in the New Testament 10 times. 5 of them pertain to prayer, which is interesting. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? Now they, remember, is the new Christians. They devoted themselves to the apostles, the 12's teaching. Does anybody remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20? When Jesus said, go and make disciples, teaching them all I have commanded you. That is the apostles' teaching. What Jesus did, what Jesus said, that is the, and they devoted themselves to it. They have a strong love and a loyalty to learn Scripture. This is it. This is the apostles' teaching for us. Devote yourselves to it. You're going to have more opportunity to devote yourselves to it because this upcoming year, Walt, I hope this is still right, Walt is doing the whole year on the Gospels, on the red letters of Jesus. Is that how you put it? That's the teaching of the apostles. You're going to have an opportunity to devote yourselves to it personally and corporately. It's going to be good. Good stuff. They devoted themselves to fellowship. What's that mean? I'll tell you what it means for us. Get together. Do stuff. Join a small group. That's another thing that's coming this year. We're going to really push small groups because the fruit from these small groups is awesome. I think they've been going for about 2 years. Four small groups going for about 2 years. I've been part of small groups before at Crossroads. They weren't like this. We ran for a while and then it was gone. We have a good foundation and a strong base for these small groups. And I'll tell you what, I thought this Christmas was going to be drastically different for me. My grandmother passed away. And every Christmas Eve, we go up there. So I thought, man, it's going to be so different. And I thought I was going to be missing so much of Christmas. And I was on Christmas Eve. I don't know if I might have said New Year's a minute ago. So we went up there, and it was lacking. It was different. Very different. But what I had this year that I've been missing is we had a Christmas party with our small group a couple weeks before Christmas. And that was my favorite party or gathering that I've had this year was with that small group. That to me is my family. That to me is where our relationships are building and happening through the small group. I want to encourage you. We're going to have a big push for this. There's going to be a table in the back starting next week or the week after, sometime in January, that's going to have information about small groups. We're going to raise up leaders. We're going to train leaders. And we want more small groups to build this community. Fellowship. They devoted themselves to breaking of bread. Communion. They devoted themselves to communion. Where's the clock? Okay, sorry. Squirrel! Sorry. They devoted themselves to communion. Why is that important? I'll give you one reason. This is certainly not an exhaustive list. Jesus said to do it. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." When we take communion, we're memorializing, we're remembering what God did through us, did for us through Jesus Christ. That is a sacred time when we take communion. It is a time for us to remember and be thankful for what God's done for us. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. So Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's why they devoted themselves to communion and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Like I said before, 5 of the 10 New Testament uses for devoted, proskeretero, had to do with prayer. I mean, that's something that I definitely need to work on, is my prayer life, especially my corporate prayer life. I mean, it's something that we take for granted. But I know every time I preach, people say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And there's just a comfort that I have knowing that people are praying for me. They're interceding on my behalf for the Holy Spirit to work through me. And that is such a comfort. They devoted themselves to prayer. Skip down to verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Man, I couldn't think of an example of anybody selling anything just to give it to someone in need. I couldn't. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It doesn't happen. You could be sitting there thinking, "Well, I did that, and awesome." But I couldn't think of any. So I got to thinking, what if we took this literally? Now, I think this is meant for us to show that we need to sacrifice for our fellow believers. We need to sacrifice for them. We need to be willing to help them, whatever means necessary. If we take that literally, let's say 10 people. I don't know how many members we have. Our attendance is roughly around 220, okay? So we'll take 200 people. Let's say 10 people out of that 200 sold their property, literally did what this said, and sold their house and gave the money to the church, because that's what they do later on in Acts. They give the money from the property to the apostles, and the apostles distribute it. What if 10 people did that? Let's just say $100,000, which is probably low for 10 people's property each. $100,000 times 10, it's $1 million, right? I'm terrible at math. That's $1 million. 10 people, if they actually did that, that's $1 million. And I'm not talking about $1 million to build a building. I'm talking about $1 million to disperse among this community and help each other out. $1 million? Really? 10? That's only 10 people. Do we live like that? Do we give like that? Absolutely not. How do we give? This isn't a sermon on giving. Thanks, Walt. I thought about that when you were talking. But how do we give? We give out of our abundance, don't we? We give out of what we have, and the extra that we have, we help people out with. Not them. They sold what they had and gave. If they didn't have anything and they had property, they sold it and got rid of it to help people out. Let's devote ourselves to something like that. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. How many people here share meals with each other in this congregation? A couple of us. I can think of two or three people, families, of course, my mother, Tina and Dan. There's not a whole lot of other people that I share a meal with very often. Why not? Why don't we do that? Why don't we get together after church and go eat? Or at small group. We don't eat every week at our small group, so I'm taking this pretty literally. But we don't share in meals together. And the breaking of bread here is not communion. The breaking of bread, that's a common phrase used back then for just eating. We don't really eat together much. I remember at the Christmas party. Boom, this just hit me. I remember at the Christmas party, we had a small group. Tina and Dan have a table, and it's not real big, so we couldn't all fit there. And I was sitting on the side and talking to somebody. I kept looking at the table, and people gathered around the table. That's where the action was at. Man, there was fellowship happening around that table. It was so cool. It was awesome to see that. How often do we sit around a table with each other? Come on, people, let's build this community. It's a proven, it works. That's what they did. That's how they built the church from this point. And then we talked about the last part. God is adding to their number daily. That is intense. Man, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see a revival where people are getting saved every day at this church. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Oh, I got it bookmarked. Starting in verse 9. You're going to see a few words in there. It's actually in verse 10. We see that word again, devoted. This is Paul writing this. Acts, Luke wrote Acts. This is Paul writing in Romans. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Be devoted to one another in love. Let's practice this. We need to practice loving each other, don't we? And when we practice loving each other, we're going to be built up and we're going to be encouraged, and then we're going to be able to better love our community, our lost community, our friends. If we love each other, we're going to love them. I mean, look at God. He loved us. He loves us, doesn't he? He loves them. We need to practice love. We need to be devoted to love, to help us reach the lost community, to reach our goal as a church and as a community. I feel like I preach the same thing when I preach. And I told that to Josh Slaughterbeck one day. I said, man, I don't know. I feel like I'm saying the same thing. He said, you know, Martin Luther preached on the same thing. And the reason he did that, he said, until I see it start happening, I'm going to keep bringing the same message. So guess what? Start doing it and I'll stop saying it. We all got a long ways to go to be devoted. 2014 is coming to a close. Man, a whole year already. Every time I wanted to go on a diet, I would try it for a couple days, and then I'd stop. And then a month later, I'd look back and I'd think, man, look, it's already been a month. Why couldn't I just stick to it for a month? What would the results be already? And then that happened. And I'm like, thank God I stuck to it. Think about this. Think about this. Most of us here make a New Year's resolution list. If not, we think about one. And we have priorities that we want to do in 2015. I got a list here that I want us to think about. And I want us to think about others above ourselves and devote ourselves to love, devote ourselves to what this book says. So let's try to do these things. Put these at the top of our New Year's resolution list. That way, you're not sitting here next year at this time thinking, man, a year's already passed. I didn't do it. And it'd already be done. You'll be sitting there all upset, like, oh, I didn't do it. But if you do it and try and to attempt to do it, next year you're going to be sitting in your seat thinking, man, look at all these relationships I have. Look at all these people that are in church. Look at all these people that I've shared the love of God with and the grace and mercy of God. Look at this place exploding. Look at the effect we're having on the community. You're going to be a part of it. But if you don't do it, you're going to be sitting there thinking, man, already a year's gone. I could have done it. You're going to be a part of it. But you're not going to be an active part of it unless you take action. I got three things here I want us to think about. I want us to pray about. You know, you don't have to pray about these things. Think about it. You can pray about it if you want, but just do them. Put them at the top of your list for 2015. The first one, I say it every time, I'm going to say it every single time. Read the book. The book is the Bible, by the way. Read the Bible. You want to hear God talk? Read the book. He will speak to you. I promise. Number two, fellowship. Yikes. That's scary. I don't really like these people. How many of you really like your family? I love my family. But seriously, I've been on both sides of the fence of this. I've been on the side of like, man, we got to go to a small group. Don't really want to go. And then we go, and it's what? Awesome. And we're glad we went. And then I've been on the side where I can't wait to go. And trust me, it's much better to decide to do it, start doing it, because you're going to get to the point where you're going to be excited to go. You're going to get to the point where you're excited to meet with these people, to call them family, to rely on these people. And the last one is to give. Not what you're expecting. I'm not talking about money. That'd be nice. But here's what we need to give. When you come to worship, don't see and expect what you can get out of it. Come with an intention to see what you can give. And what you can put into worship, into this service, what you can give to God, not only here in church, every day. What can I give to accomplish my goal, my purpose of reaching the lost community and witnessing to them? What can I give to make that happen? Not what do I need, what do I have to get to make that happen? So if you're a Christian, you have what you need. You just have to give it. Read the book. Devote yourself to reading the book. Devote yourself to fellowship. Devote yourself to giving. And this place is going to be transformed. This community, the lost community, is going to be transformed. God is going to have the opportunity, through our obedience, doing what He sent us to do, He is going to have the opportunity to save the lost. Things keep popping in my head. What's that song? Oh, what's the song? He says, I sent you. Why can't I do this? Or why isn't this happening? Or why isn't anybody helping people? Why isn't anybody doing that? And basically God's saying, well, shortest people to do it. You. I sent you to do it. That's us. He sent us. If you devote yourselves to these principles and build this community, then people will come. Through you, through me, through our obedience, through our love, through our devotion, people will come. They may or may not come to Crossroads, but they will come to know the love, the grace, and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. That's our goal as a community. Let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we recognize you right now. We honor you for who you are. Lord, the things that you've done and the things that you're going to do, God, we honor you. Lord, and we ask that you would give us motivation. You would give us a devotion to these principles, to reading your word, to fellowshipping with each other, to giving everything we've had that you've supplied us with to glorify you and build your kingdom. God, we look towards 2015, Lord, and we just we look with anticipation of what you're going to do if we're obedient. God, give us the obedience. Help us to be sacrificial to help each other. Help us to be devoted to loving each other. Lord, in your kingdom will be built. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.